Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Boy, a beautiful day. Absolutely. This is, it's close. Maybe tomorrow would be the perfect, you know, fall afternoon. This is a great October day with temperatures, you know, in the low 70s. We were around 50 or so overnight. So hope everybody doing well. I talked to
How are the plants doing, Bill?
I know they're in the garage.
Okay,
the tender plants are in the garage. And speaking of tender, talked to older son about the 9 day old. I called just to see how everybody was doing. They were about to take the now 9 day old Sarah out for her first stroll.
Is that the first announcement of the name? Is this the first time on air?
Maybe okay. On the air. Yeah, maybe. Now that they've posted things.
Congratulations. Okay. Yeah, congratulations, Bill, on grandchild number two. Yeah. And congratulations.
Granddaughter number two.
Granddaughter number two. And I mentioned this during the shower. I think it's really cool that Kennedy and Sarah, I feel like, are at ages now where they are either going to be best friends or mortal enemies,
they're separated by 2.5 years.
Cousins in the same town.
If they were even closer, it might be even more radical.
Yeah, and if one of the two families, you know, if career opportunities move them elsewhere, that dynamic could change. But for right now, like being in the same town, I would expect them to have a very close relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be really cool. And does Kennedy sort of grasp what's going on? Like, does she?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know. I mean, I think so, but I don't know.
At 2.5, I wonder, like, yeah.
I don't think Kennedy has met Sarah yet.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's, you know, the first few days.
Sure.
You know, got to try to get everybody on a schedule and things like that, so.
Now, is Sarah talking yet? I don't know how the timeline for this thing.
No, not 9 days? No, man. That would be.
Can she read?
What a story that would be. No, there would have been, you would have heard about her before now. By now, if she could talk, she can cry.
I was gonna say, yeah. That's beautiful, Bill. Congratulations to her.
Anyway, it's a great day to be outside if you get a chance today. It's gonna be cold tonight. I don't know. I asked Alexa earlier today, and she said upper 30s to low 40s tonight, and a high tomorrow like in the mid 60s. So wow. That's great, though. I love this kind of weather. We'd love to hear from you. But what we're going to do first is we're going to check in with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, busy today, so we'll get him by phone here momentarily, get his thoughts after an open weekend as the football Tigers getting ready to head to Columbia, Missouri for an early Saturday morning game, and get his thoughts on that. Of course, there was Tiger Talk last night. Had a lot of basketball information coming out yesterday with preseason polls. The SEC Media Day was today.
Almost everyone in the conference active and in conference play this weekend. Vandy's got Ball State, but the rest of it's a conference slate, including Bama, Tennessee, and Georgia, Texas on top of Auburn, Missouri. So we got a pretty loaded slate on Saturday. Auburn, the lone 11 a.m. game. You've got the Oklahoma-South Carolina game about 45 minutes later on SEC Network. But Auburn is going to be – Auburn, Missouri is in one of the prime spots in the modern era of college football.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people still maybe have not realized that, but that's – That is and is going to be.
And maybe not for fans, especially right. fans attending the game, but the fact is that the game coming right out of College Game Day, the game they throw to after Lee Corso puts a mascot head on, like that's one of the bigger games of the week, you know, in terms of television audience, and that's going to be Auburn, Missouri this Saturday, a big spot for Hugh Freeze coming out of the bye week to try to take down a ranked opponent on the road.
That's right, and Andy Burcham will be there with all the with all the coverage. That's an early start, Andy.
It is, and if Hugh Freeze had his way, the game would be played at 8 o'clock rather than us just going on the air at 8 o'clock.
Oh my!
I think he likes the idea of being that road team on an early game. I think he sees the advantage.
Oh yeah, well I mean
on Saturday.
Fewer distractions. We've got our Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante tomorrow, and that's one of the things that he talked about. Get in and get business taken care of,
yeah.
It's difficult for home fans to be as fired up at 11 o'clock in the morning. Let's face it, as it is later on in the day.
It will be their fifth straight sellout. Regardless of what time the game is played, I mean they're excited about this team. And listen, I know that 2 weeks ago they were dominated by Texas A&M. That's 2 weeks ago. If they continue to win, they're putting themselves in contention for a playoff bid, and that's all that matters.
And they have a manageable schedule.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head if they're going to be the underdog in any of the games for the rest of this season. There's certainly a 7.5 point.
Well, they go to Tuscaloosa favorite. Next Saturday,
right?
All right. Well, that
after one, that
well,
after that
after
it's
that
a, they, it's a fair question. After that,
Oklahoma at South Carolina at Mississippi State and Arkansas at home. So
and not to pile on Alabama, but you know they go to Tennessee this week.
That is right.
And we're fortunate to beat South Carolina in Tuscaloosa last week.
Extremely. Yes.
Andy, I'm really curious to see what this Missouri team looks like against Auburn, because you're absolutely right. They're 5-1. They're in the hunt for a spot in the SEC championship game and a spot in the college football playoff. At the same time, I can't help but think they've played 3 games against major conference opponents. They were down early to Boston College at home. I think it's fair to say they were fortunate to beat Vanderbilt, and they were dominated against Texas A&M. I think it's a questionable resume against major conference opponents for Missouri, even at 5-1 and with a spot they deserve in the top 25. And this is a bit of a this is a chance at home to prove that they belong where they are.
I think this. Dan, if Missouri takes care of business the rest of the year, and that would have to include a win Saturday against Auburn and an upset at Alabama next week, a one-loss Missouri team is in the 12-team playoffs.
No question. No question. One-loss SEC team, yes.
A two-loss Missouri team, I agree. I don't think that gets them in. But listen, I mean, this is a team that was highly thought of in the preseason. It has one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC in Brady Cook. It is a team that is still throwing for 246.5 yards a game, which is not, in this day and age, eye-popping numbers. But remember this, they're averaging almost 188 yards on the ground. And that's without Cody Schrader, who was one of the true superstars in college football a year ago. Auburn. And we all heard what Q Free said yesterday at his press conference and last night on Tiger Talk, that with the likes of Brady Cook and Nate Noel and Luther Burden III and Theo Weiss, that he feels that this is the best skill positions that Auburn has faced so far this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be quite a challenge for Auburn. One thing I'm sure that the Tigers looking at is the success that Texas A&M had just on the ground against Missouri.
Well, I just harken back to his presser yesterday and then with us last night on Tiger Talk. I think Auburn has to run the football. Mm-hmm. I think Auburn has to run the football more in this second half of the season. I think Jarquez Hunter needs to become even more of a factor offensively for this Auburn team. I think that is one avenue for success for Auburn. I'm not saying that guarantees an Auburn victory this Saturday, but I think it enhances Auburn's chance this Saturday. And, you know, he's got 78 carries for 528 yards through the first half of the season. I mean, those are good numbers, but those aren't numbers that you go, man, he's going to wear down by the end of this season. I wouldn't say that at all about Jarquez. I think we see more of Jarquez. I think we see more of the Auburn running game in this second half of the season. Now, we've said that before. Well, I just have to see if it starts to occur this Saturday in Columbia, Missouri.
The way A&M ran for 7 yards a carry or so against Missouri was impressive, but I thought maybe even more impressive was holding Missouri to 2 yards a carry when Missouri had the ball. It was third and eight or longer constantly for Brady Cook while A&M built that lead. I don't think he faced a third and manageable the entire first half of that
A&M's
game.
A&M's also a team that was left for dead after it lost that first game to Notre Dame.
They sure
and
were.
One thing we've learned about this season, one loss doesn't keep you out of the playoff. And one lost season doesn't keep you out of the playoff. I mean, A&M's playing for the same thing that Missouri is right now, that Tennessee is right now, that Georgia is right now. Now, listen, I think Georgia carries more weight in that group, but a one-loss SEC team right now is not out of it, where in years past you might say it was.
No, there's going to be a one-loss SEC team in the SEC championship game, right? Because Texas and A&M play each other,
at least one.
I mean, virtually it's virtually guaranteed that there's going to be a 7-1.
If not a two-loss team.
Maybe at least one as 7-1 team could be in the SEC championship game. How Auburn's rushing defense holds up against Missouri, because I thought Georgia did a great job of keeping Carson Beck out of low percentage situations, Andy. And if Missouri can do that, then it's going to be a tough night for Auburn's defense.
Yeah, Missouri poses a threat against Auburn on the ground, and we know that Brady Cook can sling it. And by the way, he's not a bad runner either. He's got over 1,000 yards in his career rushing the football. So Auburn will be tested big time on Saturday. Do I believe, though, that it is a non-win? No, I believe this is a winnable football game for Auburn. Listen, we've talked about it a great deal. 2 weeks ago against, or a week and a half ago against Georgia, Georgia was the better football team, no question about it. And Auburn still had its chances until about midway through the third quarter.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
But those three losses for Auburn at home, Auburn should be 5-1 right now, rather than 2-4 at this point. I'm not throwing shade at Cal or Oklahoma or Arkansas, but I truly believe that. I believe this team believes that, Bill.
No, it's getting over that hump. One of the things we talked about a little bit yesterday on the show is how similar so many teams in this league are. The difference is being able to make that play or finish a ball game, and that's something Auburn has not done this year. I mean, you look at Auburn and Missouri. Missouri could be 2-4, they're 5-1. Auburn could be 5-1, they're 2-4. And you look around this league, and you see really thus far, with the exception of Texas, and Georgia had that one loss to Alabama. Everybody else looks like if they're not playing their B game, they could lose to just about anybody else in this league.
Well, I mean, if Georgia just plays a first half, an average first half against Alabama,
right,
they likely win that game. And it's Georgia that's undefeated going to Texas this weekend. So, yeah, listen, I mean, there's ways to look at it, but the fact is Auburn is 2-4. It hasn't won a close game yet. It needs to figure out a way to do that. At Missouri is the first opportunity for that. Then at Kentucky. And then home against Vanderbilt. And then you've got ULM. And then you've got A&M. And, of course, you finish it with the Iron Bowl. Listen, I know at 2-4, everybody's disappointed with that record. This team is disappointed. This head coach is disappointed. But there's a great deal to play for with this team. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this team responds. I mean, the last time Auburn played at Missouri, guys, I mean, it was 2017. Auburn was coming off of a loss and went in and absolutely drilled.
Destroyed them, yes.
Missouri. And the crowd looked like a spring game that day. It will be drastically different this Saturday. This will be their fifth straight sellout, regardless if it's an 11 o'clock game. They've already okayed money to spend over $200 million on their stadium, which they desperately need, especially in the north end zone.
Yeah, I was wondering if they still had that same situation there.
They remember they remember the last time they played Auburn, too.
Oh, man, that was just a terrible game. Just an awful game in that overtime game here. Auburn has a three-game win streak. Take that for what it's worth against Missouri. Missouri beat Auburn in the Sun Bowl, first time these teams played. Beat them in the SEC Championship, beat them in 17 in Columbia, and Auburn's only trip there, and then, of course, won here in overtime in 2022.
Yeah, Auburn's never lost to them as with them being members of the SEC.
I asked Coach Drinkwitz about that game. I had to be the guy asking Coach Drinkwitz about that game at Media Days. And he said he thinks about it constantly.
Yeah, like
to this day, he says he thinks about things he did wrong in that game that hurt Missouri's chance of winning.
They chip shot field goal to win it, and then they fumble going into the end zone to win it in overtime.
I don't know what Eli could have done about either of those two things.
Right.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't out there on the field.
Yeah, maybe him stepping in front of the personnel there. But it's I was. I remember his answer back in July talking about that game.
Yeah.
Talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers here on the Tuesday Drive. We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Stick with us.
Born and raised in Lee County.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 22 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here in the studio. And on the drive hotline, it's the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, did you have a relaxing open weekend?
We did. We got to the beach, watched a lot of good football and some playoff baseball, had some delicious seafood, and came back on Sunday ready to go and get ready for this one. But, yes, it was a fun couple days away, and now ready to get back at it.
Andy, are you? I imagine you're involved somewhat in what we got going on Thursday downtown.
Yeah, I'll play a small role in tip off at Tumors on Thursday. A couple interviews that I'll be doing with some folks on the stage. Beyond that, I'll be there to enjoy it and get a good look at the Auburn Tigers, both men and women, both men's and women's basketball, and the concert after. So. Looks like the weather is going to be fantastic.
Oh, it does.
For this. I mean, I'm not sure you could ask for better weather for this event on Thursday night.
We're taking the show on the road Thursday, presented by our friends at Bud Light. We're going to be at the Supper Club, the brand new War Eagle Supper Club on the rooftop of the Graduate at Magnolia and Wright. So
you should have a great vantage point.
Yeah, really looking forward to making our first trip there, and yeah, we'll be nearby, Andy, for the festivities on Thursday.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of excitement about both men's and women's basketball for this season. Before we get into the men, I mean, Johnny, I mean, it looks like, I mean, something that was needed to be added was some scoring punch, and they look like they have done that. I mean, just a tenacious defensive team that has added some scoring punch. I'm looking forward. I think everybody's looking forward to the women this year.
When you add a sophomore coming in that averaged 20 points a game last year to what was already becoming a very good defensive team, and that's mm-hmm. the mark of Johnny Harris. She told us in the preseason that, or before practice even began, that she now feels that with the personnel she has, she can finally play the style of defense that she wants. And then you add the sophomore from Arkansas that's come in that's just a fabulous scorer. I've said this. I don't think I'm hyping it too much. This is as much talent as Auburn has had. Now, I'm not saying it's equal to, but it's as close to the talent that Auburn had when it won the SEC championship in 2009. It's as close to that Auburn has on this team this year, and we have just seen a steady progression under Johnny Harris. I mean, that second year they go to the NIT two rounds. They make the NCAA tournament a year ago, eliminated in the first round, and I will be disappointed if they don't top that and significantly this season coming up.
It's a big year. I think this is by far Coach Harris's most talented team, but this is this is a sport, women's basketball, where I think people might not realize the impact of adding Texas and Oklahoma. The projected order of finish at Media Days has Texas and Oklahoma both in the top four of the SEC. Texas projected at two behind South Carolina. I think I think South Carolina as your projected winner is a safe bet based on what's been going on in Columbia the last couple of years. But no, I think it's going to be a very, very deep and talented league that Auburn is, you know, on a nightly basis. I think Auburn's and the same is true of the men. I mean, adding Texas and Oklahoma, maybe they won't be both projected as top five teams like they are in the women's on the women's side. But this is a good league that got even better adding Texas and Oklahoma.
You listen to Bruce Pearl talk, and I agree with you with regard to the women. There's no question about that, Dan. But I've talked with Bruce at a couple of events this season, and he has told his team this: guys, if we're a top 30 team nationally, that may be as good as 10th best in the SEC. Let that sink in for just a second. A top 30 team nationally may only be as good as a top 10 team in the Southeastern Conference. And when you add Texas and Oklahoma to that list, and then you see what's just happening in this state alone. Alabama number one preseason, Auburn number two in the SEC. And we know Arkansas is going to be better under John Calipari. Kentucky will be Kentucky. Florida is an improving program, played for the SEC championship against Auburn last year at the SEC championship game or the SEC tournament. And well, you know what Kentucky, you know what Tennessee is going to bring. Vanderbilt, I think, will be better this coming season as well. I think everybody ups their game this coming season. So watch out, man. I think this could be a phenomenal year for both men's and women's basketball in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, and it could be one where, I mean, the expectations of multiple fan bases to go 16-2, 15-3 in the conference may just not be realistic.
No, it's that deep. And it's going to be fascinating to watch this season, Bill and Dan. And then you add to the fact, and you and I, we've talked about this just about every week we've talked basketball on this segment. You add then what Auburn's non-conference schedule is. And listen, it's not even been close to this in the past. I mean, every time Auburn leaves Neville Arena in the non-conference season, they're facing a team that is likely to be a top 25 team at that time. And Blue Bloods, Houston, Iowa State, perhaps North Carolina, perhaps UConn in Hawaii, Ohio State, Duke, Purdue, when Auburn leaves Neville Arena for a game in the non-conference, it is, it's a national showcase each and every time.
Andy, is there a player on the men's team, and you know, if you want to pick more than one, that's fine, but is there somebody where you're really interested to see either how they've progressed since the end of last season or how they fit in if it's a newly arrived player, somebody, you know, really early on you've got your eye on?
Denver Jones is one of them. I know he was part of Media Days today with Jani mm-hmm. Broome and Coach Pearl. I saw Denver, I think, take a step near the end of last season. I could see it in his demeanor. I could see it in his shooting confidence. And add to the fact that he will see significant playing time at point guard this year for Auburn. So there's one guy right there. I'm interested to see how Chaney Johnson responds in his second year. I think that step from Division II to the Southeastern Conference a year ago at times was a tough one for Chaney. He has all the athletic ability in the world. So I want to see him take that big step forward in his second year. And then, it's easy to say this, but what is the effect that Miles Kelly have coming right. from mm-hmm. Georgia Tech and the potential of his shooting prowess and a bigger guard for Auburn as well? So there's three guys for you. I mean, listen, we know what Jani can do. We know what Dylan can do. We know what Chris Moore can do for this team. Now, what does Pegues do at point? What does Denver do as a two guard or as a combo guard? Miles Kelly is a shooter. That's a couple. I mean, you can say that about a lot of people. How does Chad Baker-Mazzara respond after a disappointing end to his season last year in the Yale game? How does he respond to that this season? Bruce Pearl has said he feels that this team is incredibly versatile and just about everyone can play a number of positions for Auburn. They will get a test against Furman in that exhibition game coming up in a couple of weeks. They will get a test with Florida Atlantic in the exhibition game right the night before Vanderbilt. We'll have that game, by the way, on digital only, on the Auburn app, that ball game that night. And then you get ready for just a brutal non-conference schedule. So,
yeah, it is. One of the things that when did an interview with Bruce yesterday, and I knew there were a lot, but we looked at the roster yesterday. I don't know that I can recall an SEC team with 9 seniors.
Yeah.
This is a senior-laden team, so that's something that's really unusual.
It's 10 seniors if you include a Darren Scott.
True.
Who is is a guy that has been a key practice piece for the Tigers. Yeah, I don't remember it being that way, Bill. I don't remember an Auburn team with that many seniors.
No, and it's not like, oh, it's 5 guys who might get right in for the last 30 seconds of a game.
No, these are key pieces to the season coming up.
Yeah, Andy, you mentioned almost everyone in the rotation. I guess we could talk to Hod a little bit too, but I would throw out there, I remember Turtle Hudson from his time at Georgia State down the stretch.
Yep.
And I think that's a Bruce Pearl undersized 4 that's gonna come in and do some dirty work. And I wouldn't be surprised to see more Turtle Hudson early than people might be anticipating.
It's going to be an interesting rotation, isn't it? And those 2 exhibition games, I don't know how Bruce Pearl coaches those. Is he just looking at rotations and then you get ready for the opener? Or is he looking at that really as his opener? And not only is he looking at rotations, he's coaching. Obviously, they're wanting to win the game. But sometimes those exhibition games, they can be tough. And, I mean, listen to that. What, that 19 team that went to the Final Four lost to a Division II team?
Yeah.
You know?
And we were all thinking, oh, this is going to be a long year. And fortunately, right. It was. But
I mean, it sure was. It was a darn good year, wasn't it?
Yeah, no question. Oh, man. Back to football before we let you go. I mean, I get the feeling just from what we've heard from players and Hugh that they – they sort of feel refreshed again as well, getting that open, getting a few days off after practicing Tuesday and Wednesday. It's a chance for a reset, but this is a big, I mean, it's much more, it's like capital important in all letters. For Auburn to go ahead and get that win, you talked about it a while ago, they haven't won the close games. I guess we'd all prefer it not being a close game and Auburn wins going away, but Auburn needs a win, period.
Well, I mean, right now it's lost four games. It has won a game in the Southeastern Conference yet. It lost three of those four in games at home that they feel that they should have won. They had a chance to beat a top 20 team or top 25 team in Oklahoma here, and what I think was the most disappointing loss, the most gut-wrenching loss for this team this season. They need to taste some success in an SEC game, and no time's like the present. Get ready to do it at a really good Missouri team, and a Missouri team that is playing with a great deal on the line, and all kinds of intrigue. I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze just talked about his friendship with Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, there's so many folks with Auburn ties there at Missouri.
You've got Al Pogue on that staff who was here under Gus Malzahn. You've got Curtis Looper, who was part of that 2010 national championship team. And then there's the Corey Batoon, the defensive coordinator, who was with Q at three different stops, I guess an 8-year span.
Yep, Ryan Russell's there. I mean, they're just
Ryan Russell
just
is there.
Seems
yeah,
like it goes on and on.
Well, and his name escapes me, but Brian Harsin's director of football operations is at Missouri.
Brad Lorando.
Yeah, Lorando.
That's right.
Yes,
sure is.
Exactly.
The MC at the open practices.
Right.
We liked Brad.
Exactly. So there are tons. There's a lot of intrigue going into this game on Saturday morning.
Oh, absolutely. And so let us know your schedule. You mentioned you'll be able to be there for tip-off at Toomer's before you head out to Como.
Yeah, we're heading out with the team on Friday morning. We'll be on the air at 8 a.m. from Memorial Stadium for Oak Field. We're working on our lineup. I think right now we have Marlon Davidson. With us on the pregame show. We're working on the lineup right now, so I can't go beyond that. So that's coming up. The Talking Tigers podcast this week, Bill, is with Ken Herndon, who is Auburn's sprints coach on the men's side, track and field, the NCAA Assistant Coach of the Year. An incredible story to tell just about how he got to the United States from Zimbabwe. And so that is this week. Next week on the show, that Florida Atlantic exhibition game, all of the proceeds for that game will go to the Melton Scholars Program at Auburn. It's in its second year at Auburn, and Dr. Taffy Benson Clayton, along with Michael Walling and Kushiki Ranjan, are all part of that program. Dr. Taffy is the associate provost, so she's in charge of it. Michael is a mentor, a donor, and on the advisory board, and Kashiki is in her second year. She was in the initial class of what they call cohorts of the Melton Scholars Program. So that is that coming up in the weeks to come. Elijah McAllister set to join us on the Talking Tigers podcast.
Future president.
Award winner.
Future president.
Could be.
Elijah McAllister.
It's unlimited what Elijah can do with the rest of his life. And also in the weeks to come, around Veterans Day, I hope you'll tune in. We're going to talk Veterans Day, and really looking forward to being with you and talking with a member of the Auburn athletic staff that is a disabled veteran in Josh Wetzel, and his incredible story of a bomb that exploded that took both of his legs in the Middle East. He came back, finished his degree at Auburn, now works for Auburn Athletics. That will air around Veterans Day. So looking forward to talking with our friend Josh Wetzel on the Talking Tigers podcast in the weeks to come.
No question. That's a great story, and looking forward to that and everything you've got coming up, Andy.
Real quick, Andy, because you were watching baseball this weekend, who's a team to beat? We're down to four. Who do you think's going to take it?
I think the Mets will win the National League. And I think it will be a Subway Series.
Wow.
I think it's Mets
Yankees.
Yankees
Mets.
Wow.
The Mets to me remind me of that Phillies team that beat my Cardinals and then the Braves and then made it to the World Series before falling in the World Series. They have that kind of swagger and momentum right now.
Great stuff, Andy.
I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, well, you got a decent shot. I mean, them winning that game two in L.A. Yeah. was huge. Yep. No question.
I'm afraid you're right, Andy. I want to believe in the Dodgers. Yeah. I do. Big game for Walker tomorrow.
Yep.
Indeed. But getting a split in L.A. was enormous.
It really was. No question. Andy, it's always a pleasure. We really enjoy spending a little time with you. We'll probably see you Thursday, and then good luck on the trip to Columbia.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesday afternoon.
I had to get the baseball questions in before the War Eagle, because I know you can't ask him anything once he hits that.
That's right. That is the sign-off. All right, we're a little late, but wanted to keep Andy, as long as we could. We'd love for you to join us now on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Right back with more here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join us. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, you want to talk about the NCAA looking at changing rules after people do what is perfectly legal, but I mean that's how rules get changed a lot of the times. We had for years you had Saban rules changes regarding recruiting. Now it looks like we're going to have a Lanning rule imposed after Oregon, Ohio State this past week.
I mean, I think the most urgent. I mean, if we're, I don't know what they would do mid-season about it. It feels like between
I don't think you can do anything mid-season.
Yeah, I think between the growing controversy over players going down to slow down high-speed offenses, defensive players taking suspicious-looking injury breaks,
or to stop the clock. Even I mean, whatever. If you want to get a free timeout, that's Ole Miss has done that.
And I understand the gripes about defensive players taking a very long time to substitute after offensive players do it. Leading to delay of games or timeouts or things like that. And so I do feel like there are a couple of substitution/injury-related things that they really need to evaluate and probably need to find a solution for, because it's the problem. What are the specifics of the Lanning rule, Bill? Do you have?
Oregon having a 12th man on the field intentionally to be able to get a clock runoff. I mean, it's one of those just quirky around the rule. You read the letter of the law is not the intent necessarily. I'd wondered about things like that before, about a team that is trying to stop or either stop the clock or get the clock to run out by skirting around the rules. Now you're going to have to put specifics in.
Is the rule, the change that you just give the other team the option to decline a 10 second runoff in that situation?
I would think that would be a huge step. Yes.
I mean, I would wonder if in situations.
We saw, you saw the situation where the officials stop a clock and it's because of that, it's an automatic 10 second runoff. Auburn had that and we've seen that in a couple of other games.
I would think if you're a defense trying to run the clock out, and you're committing penalties that come with a runoff, the offense should be allowed to decline that runoff and keep the time on the clock. I imagine that would be, because otherwise that does feel like an exploitation of a loophole where you can get the clock to run when you can commit a penalty that benefits you because it runs time off the clock instead of when the other team is pressed for time and you're trying to. You're trying to salt a game away. So I would think that adding the option for the other team to decline the runoff, I would think would be would be a fair compromise there, that at least it takes some of the strategy.
Yeah, now the options are you either take the penalty or you take the 10-second runoff, and it was a 3rd and 25, Ohio State had called a timeout, 3rd and 25, and Dan Lanning today said, and I'll read you the quote. He said, "We spend an inordinate amount of time on situations, and some situations don't come up very often in college football. But this was obviously something we'd worked on. You can see the results." And, you know, if they have those 10 seconds back, Ohio State's got time to kick a game-winning field goal. I mean, it's crazy, but, hey, that's very smart by Dan Lanning.
Well, I mean,
because he saw something in the rules that was perfectly legal.
Yeah, I mean, this was a this was I mean, this was a it's not, it was called correctly on the field.
Like, right,
the referees, and
because what happened is the clock ran, the penalty was called, the time couldn't be put back on the clock. All they could do, they could take the five-yard penalty, but they lost 4 seconds.
Now, could a conference decide that this is against the spirit of competition and come after Lanning financially?
Well, they might,
potentially. Yeah. I think that would
They're not going to let the teams get back out State a few more seconds.
No. I mean, and I know that, you know, people have referenced Jason Kidd about a decade ago. Jason Kidd deliberately spilling water when he was a head coach in the NBA. He deliberately spilled water on the court to get an extra timeout, and made it seem like it was an accidental collision that caused him to spill, and the NBA fined him for that. So I mean, I suppose the Big Ten,
maybe the Big Ten fines
the,
him.
The Big Ten could come in and say, you know, on top of a rule change potentially, Big Ten could say, hey, this or at least
if I were Dan Lanning, I'd make a big deal of it because it is something that is allowed currently under the rules. Now that this is out and there's been talk about, you know, changing this, I wouldn't try it again.
And again, I'm not advocating for the Big Ten to come after Dan Lanning financially. No. We're talking about, like, what could you do aside from a rule change there? It's like, I don't know. You know, I mean, it seems like this is the issue would be with the rule and not Dan Lanning,
right,
in this situation, as upset as people may be with Dan Lanning because he's the one who broke the code.
All right, we need to get one more break in, so we'll get to that final break. Brett, you'll be up when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
It's time to plan your
6-7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here on the Tuesday Drive. And let's get right to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar and Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Man, ye of little faith.
Oh, it's a big, you know, we were just talking about during the commercial break. You got Yamamoto Thursday, most likely. You got Flaherty Friday. It's a huge start for Walker.
If the Dodgers win game three, they're going to win it, and they'll win it in pretty short order, I think.
Well, Dan, here's a little stat for you to make you feel better. The guy, the bats are pitching Wednesday. He's given up 11 runs in his last 16 innings.
That's Severino, right?
Yeah. 10 earned in 16, 11 overall.
And one of the reasons Severino's not in pinstripes anymore is there was a concern about how he held up in the biggest moments, right?
And he couldn't stay healthy.
Exactly.
I would still say advantage Dodgers right now. I think that when you go with a bullpen game in one of your first two, it's probably a luxury to be up 2-0, and the Dodgers aren't up 2-0. This is maybe among the biggest starts of Walker's Dodger career. With the momentum on the Mets side, it's gonna be a hornet's nest, and they're not necessarily throwing their best guy either.
No, they're not. Yeah, I still say the Dodgers in six.
I would agree. I would say Dodgers in six or seven right now. Maybe we get a series that goes the full seven.
Tell me y'all's prediction on the game this weekend. True prediction.
I don't know. I've got a. Auburn's got to show me. I mean, Auburn's going to the show me state. I know that they're good enough to beat them. I just don't know that they believe that they can beat them. And I think Missouri right now feels like they're going to win these close games.
Yeah, the so bad news.
I'd lean Missouri close.
The bad news for Auburn, Brett, is that I think it's going to be close in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like that's, I mean, based on, I mean, and that should be good news. You're on the road against a top 25 team.
Is.
Right?
I mean, it is good news. It
should be good news. But I just have, you know, I have concerns about what might happen in critical possessions late.
I'm more worried about can our secondary cover their receipts.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you're not freshmen anymore. You know, these kids, you graduated over the break.
That sounds real good, Dan, until you're lined up in front of Luther Burton.
That's exactly right, Brett.
Oh, yeah. Hey, good stuff, Brett.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Jake Crane will be back with us today. We'll get with him at around 5:30. But until
you want to run the Drinkwitz?
Phone lines are open.
You want to run?
Yeah, we'll do that in hour number two as well, Dan. Asked Eli back at SEC Media Days if he remembered 2 years ago. I wish we could play you the video as well. We'll be right back.
This is Martha Hank.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. It is. I mean, there's hardly a cloud in the sky. Temperature was around 72 for a high. Nice light breeze. I mean, just perfect. Perfect fall weather, as we're just a couple of days away from tip-off at Toomer's. As Auburn football getting ready to head to the road to start their second half of the season.
Yeah, really excited about Thursday. We are taking the show on the road to downtown Auburn. We will be at the brand new War Eagle Supper Club.
About that.
On the rooftop of the Graduate Hotel on West Mag and Wright Street. We'll be there courtesy of our friends at Bud Light doing the show live from 4 to 6. So pop on in and see us. I believe the schedule is for the live music at tip-off at Toomer's to get going around 4 o'clock, too.
Right.
So depending on where we set up, you know, might hear a little bit of that in the background of our show. But if you're coming to tip-off at Toomer's, come on in and say hi to us downtown as we help folks get ready for the event. And we are thrilled to be at the brand new War Eagle Supper Club, courtesy of our friends at Bud Light.
Yes, we are. So, as Dan said, love for you to stop by and join us as well. All right, earlier today, all right, in hour number one, we had the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, on with us, and he mentioned something that Bruce Pearl had let slip a little, but there had been no official word on until just a couple of minutes ago. Auburn is releasing. It is official that the Tigers have added a charity exhibition game at Furman. That one will be coming up on Sunday, October 27th. That will be in Greenville at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. So Auburn and Furman, they will tip off at noon Central. No radio or TV coverage for that, but there are tickets available. So anybody who's going to be there in the Greenville area, you can get your tickets for $15 through Ticketmaster. So you can check that one out. And the proceeds from this exhibition are going to benefit the Friends of Cleveland Park and the City of Greenville's park restoration projects. So, you know, we'd heard about that and but we weren't sure of the date or time, and now we know that it's going to be Sunday, October 27th at noon in Greenville.
Yeah, I believe that's a That's an old gym. If it's the if it's the one where they're playing the Greenville, I don't think they're in the Coliseum, right? I think they're
It's the Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
Yeah, I believe that's like I think a 1,200 person gym somewhere in because that's not Furman's.
It probably has something to do with Greenville's park restorations. I mean, it's part of the Greenville city. Parks.
Interesting. All right. So that's that'll be cool. And that's been rumored for about a month.
It
with,
has.
With especially on the Furman side. And if you know Greenville area folks want to check that out, they'll get the chance. Again, not going to be a ton of. I think that was going to be a secret scrimmage, and it's been turned into a charity exhibition.
Well, the NCAA has said you can play. It can be open. If the proceeds go to a charitable organization,
right? So that was probably going to be Auburn played Furman in a scrimmage away from home.
Yeah, that's where they
were
able to get up close with JP Pegues.
Yeah, I'd be nervous about scheduling Auburn for my scrimmages, by the way, because it seems like some of those players end up playing for Auburn shortly thereafter. It's another opportunity for this team to get ready because they've got some. They've got some stiff competition in November and December, and any chance they get as much as Auburn brings back, you're still talking about a total change at the point guard position, and Miles Kelly figures to have a big role, and you're trying to move on from Jalen Williams, so like there are still some pieces that Auburn is figuring out going into this season, and games like that Furman game will help them do it, and I imagine it's cool for JP to go back and see guys that he
and play against guys that he played with
and won a lot of games as their point guard, and that's I imagine that's going to be fun for both sides.
Yeah, so
that especially in an exhibition, you know, a regular season game might be a little bit more heated, but I imagine it's going to be a lot of fun in an exhibition.
And we also talked with Andy about the Missouri game where the Auburn, after its first open date of the season, right at the midpoint, heading up to Columbia this week to take on a Missouri team that, as you said, Dan, I mean, they've struggled, but they have won their close games. I mean, they're 5-1 and they easily could be 3-3 for sure. But
0-3 against major conference opposition at that point.
They could be in a
remarkably similar spot to Auburn. You know, you look at Missouri's schedule, like they beat Boston College 27-21. It was 14-3 right. Boston College in the second quarter of that game. They beat Vanderbilt 30-27. That game went to double overtime. Vanderbilt had some special teams.
Vandy had a field goal in overtime to win it.
Misadventures, and then they were throttled at Kyle Field by Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a chance for Missouri to prove they belong in the conversation as a top 25 team, as a playoff contender, as a team. I mean, we were saying with Andy, if Missouri wins out at 7-1, they'll be in the mix for the SEC championship game.
Oh,
like a 7-1 Missouri team could.
They probably will be in. You know, I don't know. I mean, it depends on.
7-1 Missouri would have beaten Alabama. 7-1 Missouri. 7-1 Missouri. Wouldn't have played Texas. I think that there's a chance that Missouri team that wins out. A&M hasn't lost a conference game, right?
No.
A&M would need to lose.
A&M's 3-0.
A&M would need to lose to Texas. And they would probably need to lose another game because they would have the tiebreaker over Missouri. Although, how about this, Bill? If Missouri's 7-1 and A&M goes 8-0 in league play with a win over Texas at the end of the season, an 8-0 A&M team, and then you've got a bunch of 7-1 teams competing to be in the.
They would get the tiebreaker because they'd have. Well, I mean,
well, Missouri. Would, well, I don't know how they would figure out Missouri and Texas at that point. Like if you have two 7-1 teams figuring out which one goes, like there's scenarios.
Yeah, both of them would have lost to the same team and didn't play each other. You'd have to go then against the other teams. They would have the same records against them.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly.
That may be the coin flip.
I would hope that they would let the ADs vote rather than do a coin flip. I don't know what would you prefer in that situation. If they deemed it an unbreakable tie, would you rather flip a coin or let the other.
I'd almost 14, flip a coin.
Let the other 14 ADs in the SEC.
I think Missouri would have a better shot in a coin flip.
Oh yeah, no, anything that involves the eye test, right, becomes a bigger problem for them.
Yep, we had Ty the Tiger on the phone. Ty, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of the drive, which is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
I had the arena wrong for that. They're not playing in the old. They are going to play some games in their wellness center, but Bon Secours is like Bon Secours seats okay. Thousands of people.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Then there's more room for people if you'd like to go to Greenville. They're on that is the day after the Kentucky game, so you can sort of make it a round trip, sort of a triangle there. And, head from Lexington to Greenville before you head back to Auburn. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, Bon Secours used to be the buy-low center. They've done a lot of they've done NCAA tournament stuff there. They've done regional play. That's the Bon Secours Wellness Center. That's a
nice arena.
Yeah, that's 15,000 for basketball too. So in the local area, if you want to check out Auburn Furman, I would imagine there's going to be plenty of opportunity to see that.
Yeah, and as I said, I think the tickets are $15, so it's not going to set you back too much. All right, we'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. I mean, can Auburn? You're talking about Missouri wants to prove that they deserve. Auburn wants to prove that they are not this hapless team that can't win a ball game. I mean, they've come close, but this ain't horseshoes. This is football. And Auburn and Mississippi State, the only two SEC teams without a conference win.
Oh no, and it's a big weekend for teams in the league who, I mean, you're running out of time to prove it, right, Bill? Like that's where if you're Auburn, like you get a chance, at a top 25 road win. Mm-hmm. Some of these teams that are still in the playoff race but sort of hanging on, like I mean the Texas Georgia game is. I feel like we've been kind of spoiled already, but like it would be a game of the year in any other.
Oh yeah, no
in
kidding.
Any other circumstance. I mean these are two of the. I'll fill in the blank on that one, Bill. Like Texas and Georgia are two of the best.
I think they're two of the five best teams in the country.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, this could be a playoff semifinal. Like that's the quality of the game. It could be the final. Like, I mean, Texas Georgia could very well. I mean, it could be the last time either of these teams lose between now and the next time they play each other. So yeah, I think there's a
if Texas wins. All right, Texas has still got to go to. Let's see, they've got
A&M late. Right.
I was going to say before that though, the next toughest matchup may be at Arkansas because they've got Florida and Kentucky at home, and I'm not taking anything away from Vandy, but I would think Arkansas may be tougher to go in than Vandy. A&M's got LSU next week, or is it this week? Is the A&M LSU game?
I don't believe A&M LSU is this week.
Okay, no, you're right. It's next week. If they get, and that one's at home, there is a chance that A&M and Texas could be unbeaten in conference play when they play.
A&M in Starkville this week. LSU
right.
off.
Yeah.
So it's a or no LSU's got a LSU's got Arkansas. Yeah,
so LSU's at Arkansas.
Yeah, LSU's at Arkansas. They're not off. They're both on the road this week in conference play.
But before see, they, before L- they play LSU has to go to College Station next week, and then they go, and then A&M goes to South Carolina and to Auburn. I mean, you would think they're going to be favored in those other ball games. Their schedule, it looked like. Remember all the questions about A&M at the beginning of the season. I mean, how good are they? Are they going to be able to go better than 500? Heck, they've got a chance of being unbeaten going to the Texas game.
I was really impressed. I mean, A&M played Notre Dame, and again, both teams were viewed with a degree of skepticism, and probably still are. But that Notre Dame A&M game, I mean, came down to the wire. And going into Missouri last week, I remember thinking, A&M is, or going back to the Missouri game, I remember thinking, this is an A&M team that's a couple of minutes away from being undefeated and probably in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And they've probably they showed more against Notre Dame than Missouri had at any point this season. And then for them to do that to Missouri on top of that, they've also beaten Arkansas. But it's a it's an A&M team that is, there are some similarities between, we've seen Auburn bring back a coordinator and have great success in year one with that coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. Gus in 13.
Sure.
Chizik, it was year two. But Mike Elko seems to have unlocked something that's allowing A&M to win some of these games that they used to lose.
And they also, when we were talking about teams with fortunate schedules, we looked at Ole Miss and Missouri. Look at Texas A&M's schedule right now.
No Bama, no Georgia.
They don't have Bama, Georgia, or Ole Miss.
Yeah.
That is something that in this 16-team league, if you can avoid two or three of the upper five or the top five or six teams, man, you've got a great shot of making a deep run in this league and having a chance to play for the title.
Think about this too: A&M's road games in league play could be Florida. Are Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina,
and Auburn.
Yeah, and there's there's a chance none of those teams are
500 in the conference.
Or have a winning record when A&M plays them. You know what I mean? So it's a that's a favorable draw when you think about what some of the, Georgia's going to Bama, Texas, and Ole Miss. Right, and meanwhile, those are A&M's four road games.
Yeah, and when we were talking about how easy Ole Miss's schedule, they had to go to Baton Rouge this past week, and they do have their other ones are Florida, Arkansas.
Feels like
no cakewalk either. So A&M, you look now at A&M's schedule, it appears easier than Ole Miss, but they had Notre Dame at the start of the season when Ole Miss had Wake.
They had
their biggest name.
They had Notre Dame. They had them at home. I would say that it feels like, especially in this day and age, Bill, like the real question with your schedule is, where are you going in your four SEC mm-hmm. road games?
Right.
Like who are you playing in those games? And that's going to decide, because everyone's got. You can draw a really tough home slate, but you have the advantage of being at home in the SEC. To me, it's like, where are you going with your four SEC? And for Auburn, It's a Missouri team in the top 25 and two top five opponents in Bama and Georgia. You've got Kentucky mixed in there as well. There are some far more favorable road draws in the SEC, and I think A&M would probably be near the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that you look at it, it takes a few weeks though for you to really get a feel for how good some of these teams are. And we still don't even really know at the midpoint of the season. Let's get to our first break. I want folks to hear the question and then the response. And again, it's a shame we can't.
It's on YouTube. We'll tell you how to find it if you want to see the video.
Eli Drinkwitz's trolls. And yeah, you want to set this up, Dan? You asked the question.
Yeah, it's this is back at Media Days. And we were talking, we referenced this in the first hour. We were talking with Andy Burcham, Voice of the Tigers, and I think a storyline that we won't talk about too much on the Auburn side is the last time Auburn, Missouri faced. There's been a lot of roster turnover on both sides.
Oh yeah,
I wonder how many Auburn players were even on the team.
Jarquez
for that 2022 game, but quite a few of the Missouri players. Important players from Missouri were there on the field for that one, and Eli Drinkwitz was the coach when Missouri lost that. Wild, error-filled.
Game. It was not. It was an ugly game.
Yeah, against Auburn back in 22 and Media
That's
Days.
That's one. You almost feel like since then Auburn hasn't won a game that they probably should have. Have they?
We're paying the tax.
They shouldn't have won that one. Auburn should not have won that one.
No, you miss a chip shot field goal. You fumble going into the end zone on both in situations where it would have won you.
Over.
It would have won you the game. So I asked Eli about that and also his relationship with Hugh Freeze, but mostly about the 2022 loss at Auburn and how that's impacted him as a coach and as he gets ready to see Auburn again.
And one here and then one over here.
Dan Peck, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. Coach, that game in Auburn in 2022 was one of the wilder things I've ever seen. You're going to get Auburn at home this season, just the second time Auburn's ever played in Columbia, first time they've played there with you as the coach. Just your you know, I mean, I imagine there's some excitement to see Auburn again at home, and also your relationship with Coach Freeze, because he wasn't the coach last time you played Auburn.
Yeah, got a lot of respect for Coach Freeze and how he handles his organization and program, and know he's done a really good job of building his culture, continuing to build the competitive depth of that team. I don't know if excited is the right word when you play Auburn. You know they're going to have a very good physical front on both sides of the ball. You know with his offensive acumen, they're going to score points. You know with DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator, they're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to be attacking in nature. And so we're absolutely going to have our hands full. I think back to that 2022 debacle a lot. In all the things that I did wrong to not put ourselves in a position to win the game. And so, you know, really got to learn from it. But, boy, that was a long time ago. In fact, Luther played. In fact, after that game was when Luther took all his stuff down off social media. That's how bad of a game it was. So hopefully those guys will come out ready to play. But I don't know that there's going to be a lot of crossover from, you know, that gamesmanship.
Final question, right side.
Michael Cobble out of Baton Rouge.
If you could have seen the look and the response, the reaction from Eli Drinkwitz when Dan was asking that question, as he just like, he rolled his eyes and then just dropped his head down like, oh, God, no, don't mention that game again.
No, but Eli likes, I mean, he likes talking about Auburn, or, he, oh, yeah. or at least he did before that 2022 game. But no, I mean, you can ask Eli about anything, and he was, yeah, he's open about, you know, his admiration for Coach Freeze. They're both guys who have spent time. I feel like there's a bit of a fraternity among coaches who spent a lot of time at the mid-major level and have worked their way into the SEC that way, as opposed to your head coaches who have been major conference guys for virtually their entire careers. And Hugh Freeze and Eli Drinkwitz have both spent ample time outside of major conference college football.
Well, they've never worked together on the same staff, but they have so many people that they have worked with each, and they have so much in common. I mean, Hugh calls Eli one of his closest friends in the SEC, says he talks to him multiple times every week. He said yesterday he'd already talked to him twice this week, and he's got to stop. Yeah. I mean, it's Monday, you know, when he says he's already talked to him twice this week. So, yes, they are close. They're good friends. And they'll be trying their best to beat the other one as badly as they can this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Missouri and A&M would be the two teams where, I mean, we were just talking about it with A&M and their schedule. Like, they're not in the top 10 right now. If they play the way they were supposed to play, there's a path for both of those teams to get to the SEC championship game, to the college football playoff. And for Missouri, a lot of that's going to be written in these next 3 weeks. Like for Missouri, it's how do you play against Auburn, Alabama, and Oklahoma? Because those are teams, if Missouri is a playoff contending team everywhere but the line of scrimmage, then that's not going to work against Auburn or Alabama or Oklahoma. Like they've got three games the next couple weeks, and Oklahoma's got real problems on offense. But still, like if you're struggling to block them, you're gonna have a real tough day at the office. So no, I think this is a sneaky big game for Missouri, because it's impossible to imagine. It's impossible to imagine Missouri losing this game now that they've already dropped one. It's impossible to imagine Missouri losing this game and fulfilling what they were supposed to do preseason. Like if Missouri loses this one,
that's true.
I mean, they could still go 10-2 and 6-2 in the league, but they'd have to win in Tuscaloosa and they'd have to beat Oklahoma to get to that point.
And Arkansas,
who's also belongs in this conference. Because Travis Williams can attack a line of scrimmage too. Like if you've got problems keeping a defense off your guys and you got problems, you know, getting your run game going, like you'll have a tough game against Arkansas.
Oh yeah. It is a big ball game for Missouri. It is a must win for Auburn. We've said that for the last couple of games. They haven't, but each one they lose makes it just much more difficult to see that. Hard to imagine that the team can continue competing as hard and you know, appear to still be as motivated as they have been. They've got to get that reward of a win somewhere along in here.
Before we get to Jake to start, before Jake comes back in the next segment, where do you feel like things could change coming out of the bye week for Auburn? Are there personnel spots where you think you could see
I don't think so much personnel.
Is there
offensive philosophy, perhaps a little less of the RPO and a little more of the R and P, and not the option.
Take the
option out. I mean, it's like, let's call a run and have some options in the run or have options in the pass, but let's do that. And I mean, Hugh Freeze has talked, he's talked the talk this week. He said, we've got to get it to 27 more. I mean, everybody's been feeling that way for a long time. That's what I think you have to see more dedication to. We're gonna pound you. We're gonna run the ball and see what you do.
Are there players that you think could be used more in the last six games than they were in the first six games on either side of the ball?
Sure, I think there are. I think DeMarcus Riddick's playing time continues to increase. I think I'm going to be really interested to see as Kinsley Faustin, does he play a more prominent role? He played a really prominent one at Georgia.
Perry Thompson was my first name.
If everybody is as healthy as the reports from folks that watch practice today, the media got over a half an hour today at practice, and reports were that there was nobody wearing one of the yellow non-contact jerseys. That's big for Too Tall Miller for sure, because that's a guy that we'd been wondering if he'd be able to go here against Missouri. But yeah, Perry Thompson could be. I know Hugh Freeze has said they've got to find a way to get him involved more.
I mean, they ran some dedicated plays to Malcolm in the fourth quarter, trying to come back against Georgia. I think the hope would be that they can get Malcolm involved earlier, as he's provided some big plays this year too. But I would think Perry would be. It's just as far as snap counts and things. That's somebody who I imagine could see an increase this second half of the season.
Yeah,
maybe Mike O'Reilly would be a name to toss out there because you have some upperclassmen there at tight end, and maybe you want to get Riley more involved in the in the passing game. I think there could be an opening for him to get some playing time and get a little bit more involved too.
Yeah, we'll see, and we'll get some thoughts on that, and of course, looking around the league and the country when we talk with Jake Crane here on the other side. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive, 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're going to head back to the drive hotline. Welcome in our good friend from Crane and Company, Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, getting ready for another crazy weekend of college football. I mean, who knows what's going to happen at this point?
It's great, though. I love it. I mean,
it's fantastic.
We were talking about it the other day. I mean, a lot of folks felt like, well, this transfer portal is only going to help the teams at the top. The best just going to get better. They're going to have their pick of the litter. They're going to be stocked, you know, three deep with nothing but five stars, but it's been anything but the case. I mean, look, the great teams, the teams with money still get the players that they want, but they just, let's face it, you're not going to be able to pay a third stringer as much as another team can pay that same player to be their first team guy. So you've got more competitive games than we've ever seen, I think.
Jake, who's got the best shot of going 12-0? Like, is there a team that stands out to you? Because it feels like that's what, I mean, we're going to have a lot of 11-1, 10-2 beauty pageant stuff going on for these playoff spots. Because I wonder how many of these teams can close the deal and actually finish 12-0, 13-0.
You know, I'm going to say a team that, a lot of people would just jump right off the page and say Texas, and I get that. Some would say Oregon after beating Ohio State, and I get that. But if we're talking Power Four, man, I'm looking at Penn State and the rest of this schedule, man. I mean, they get Ohio State and Washington at home. Outside of that, they're going to be heavily favored in every game they play. I think there's a chance Penn State may run the table. I think we may have multiple teams, as crazy as that sounds. But doesn't what we're seeing now in the NIL and transfer portal era make what Hurley is doing at UConn in basketball even more impressive? Like, that's what I just keep thinking about. Like, typically it's been college basketball where we're like, well, it's the tournament. Who knows? Anybody can win. FAU made the Final Four. Like, you know, six teams are beating ones. But yet it's college football right now that we're looking around and saying, man, there's more parity at the top, the middle, and the bottom than we've had in a long time. I mean, you talk about drastic changes, guys. It's not just the good. Look at Florida State. Like, it's crazy out in these streets right now.
Jake, I mean, it feels like cheating. I might say BYU as my answer to that. Like,
let me ask you this. If you're going to say BYU, then why not say Iowa State?
Iowa State.
And look at those schedules.
They don't play each other. They're going to be two 12-0 teams in the Big 12 championship game.
That's why. I mean, if you're going to say one, you might as well say the other.
Yeah. No, I think Arizona State. Now, both those teams go to Utah, but what's Utah without Cam Rising? Like, yeah. I don't know what to make of them. BYU's got a very interesting road game at Arizona State later this year. Kenny Dillingham winning some games early on for. No, it's wild, and it feels like with the playoff expansion, it's only going to get. And to think, you're probably talking about one of these teams as the four seed, right? Like, I mean, the Big 12 champion.
Maybe. I think that the ACC is weird to me. Like, I'm telling you right now, I think Clemson's best team in the ACC. I know everybody's all hot on Miami. I don't trust them on defense. They do nothing but play man coverage, and they're not great at it.
But so you still need a fourth conference champion, don't you?
Well, yeah. I'm just wondering if the strength of the top of the ACC is going to give them that third seed over how down the Big 12 has been at the top. That to me is a very, very fascinating conversation about, you know, we know the Big 12 and the ACC are going to be the 3 and 4 when it comes to seeding, but in what order? That's the question to me.
If the Big 12 collapsed or you had a surprise Big 12 champion, I think Boise could crash the party undefeated. Like but that's what it would take. Otherwise, you're probably talking about you're talking about one of these Big 12 teams as the four seed potentially.
I mean, yeah, Boise's got that one loss to Oregon. I'm telling you, a team right now to watch out for is Army.
Yeah, I was going to say Army-Navy.
Yeah, well, they play Notre Dame, too. So, there's a world in which Army, as the Group of Five team in their conference, could find a way, if you get a collapse from the ACC or the Big 12, to possibly sneak into that four spot if they're undefeated.
That is just – that's amazing – to think of. It's like there'd be some people going, wait a minute, what is this, 1944?
Army versus Navy for the four seed, potentially? Could we talk about that?
I don't think we've had this good of an Army or Navy since World War II.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, but like I said a little while ago, it's great. I look at the SEC now, and I'm still not really sure about a lot of these teams.
I mean, Bill, who knows? Like the thing right now is there feels like, and Texas, I think this weekend, can make that
they
jump.
Can.
But it feels like there's no complete team. There's no team that we look at and we're like, yeah, in all three phases, this is the big dog. Everybody else is chasing them. It's just a lot of pretty good teams that aren't complete. But if Texas walks Georgia, which means beats them by double digits, I do think we have to separate Texas from everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then it's Texas and the rest in the SEC. I mean, because just about everybody else in the league has shown that they can beat somebody else. Auburn, sadly, is one of the two exceptions. Auburn and Mississippi State are the only two that haven't.
Yeah, well, again, if this game is about finding a way to lose, Auburn would be number one in the country right now. But as far as the rest of the – I'm telling you guys, there's a chance that we could have Texas A&M and Texas play twice in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, we were just talking about that a while ago.
There's a world in which that happened.
They could both be unbeaten. They could both go in unbeaten in conference play, both 8-0.
I don't know if there's a team in the league that has a better draw the second half of the season than A&M. Right? I mean, thinking about where they're going, and I mean, yes, they play Texas, but they do it at home. Like, I think they've got an excellent situation the second half of the season, and that's you're absolutely right that they should absolutely be, you know, one of your three or four favorites to be in the SEC championship game right now is crazy. I mean, well, that A&M LSU game is huge.
Yeah, Bill, Bill, I want to ask you and Dan this, because we talked about this on Crane & Company. I don't mean to take over the questioning in the interview, but do you think, to me, the magic number in the SEC and the Big Ten is 10-2, right? You feel like that 10-2 is going to get you in, but the more I look at it, if there's a decent amount of teams in both those conferences and a couple that are 11-1, and maybe one that's 12-0 in the Big 12 or the ACC, and let's say Notre Dame finishes 11-1 and gets in, does a 10-2 Missouri with that schedule get in?
That's exactly what we were just talking about. I mean, a 10-2 Missouri team that loses in Tuscaloosa and say gets it handed to them there and you know, squeaks by, wins the rest of their ball games, they probably don't get in your scenario.
I will predict, Jake, and I don't know if it's going to be Missouri. I will predict that there is a 10-2 SEC or Big Ten team that does not make the college football playoff. I think someone's going
to
go.
To me, I think it's either Missouri or Illinois. Those are the two that I think are probably the best candidates for that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I just think there's going to be, and that could be where the group of five champion, having a guaranteed spot becomes very important too, because it's not being one of the best 12. It's about being one of those six or seven best wild cards, you know, at larges. And yeah, I think that's where that's going to be tough.
Well, and Notre Dame's a huge wild card in this too now. Like 11-1 Notre Dame gets in. I don't care what anybody says. They're going to put them in. But a 10-2 Notre Dame with a loss to Northern Illinois and then, I don't know, maybe Georgia Tech or Army or somebody, I don't think a 10-2 Notre Dame gets in. If you're a fan of a team outside of Notre Dame, you should be rooting for them to lose every game they play.
Jake, a team that I would have said a couple of weeks ago needs to be firmly in the thick of this conversation, and they still have a chance to get right back in. But that loss at Arkansas is huge for Tennessee, because you think about if Tennessee,
well, the Tennessee-Alabama game is a whole lot different than people thought it was going to be just a few weeks ago.
If Tennessee were sitting there 10-2 with losses to Alabama and Georgia, you might wonder where the quality victory is coming from. But now they have to win one of those two games. Like it feels like they have to either beat Alabama on Saturday, or they have to go to Athens in November and win that game to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, well, Dan, I think Georgia's in the same boat. You got to beat either Texas or win at Ole Miss, and then you got Tennessee at home. Like, you got to win two out of those three. But to me, though, if you're Tennessee, yes, obviously this game against Bama is massive, but you've just turned into a huge Arkansas fan. You're a huge Arkansas fan right now if you're a Tennessee fan. Because if Arkansas beats LSU at home this weekend, guys, that Arkansas loss looks a whole heck of a lot better than it did a couple weeks ago.
And I sure wouldn't be shocked if that happens. And again,
I think they're going to beat them.
Again, a month ago, I would have thought, you know, have I lost my mind saying something like that?
No, I mean, that just goes to show you where we're at in college football right now, and I'm here for it.
And don't slam the door on Arkansas quite yet, right? Only one conference loss.
No.
A game they'd love to have back, but I mean they're still ready to be in the mix. Jake, how do you think Alabama A&M plays, or how do you think Alabama Tennessee plays out? Because Alabama has been a wild ride the last two times they've been on the field, and Tennessee, I think folks thought that offense would be a little more pyrotechnic than we've had in the three games they've played in SEC play.
Yeah, I mean they've been more arsonist than pyrotechnic here lately. But you know, this is the make me feel good again bowl, right? Can you imagine the emotional roller coaster that Alabama and Tennessee fans have been on the last 3 weeks? I mean, goodness gracious, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. You know, when I look at this matchup, everybody's going to talk about the weakness versus the weakness, right? Tennessee's offense versus Alabama's defense. I think it's going to come down to strength versus strength, man. Like, I think it's going to come down to the Tennessee defense versus the Alabama offense. And what I'd be worried about if I'm a Tennessee fan is either Heupel is afraid to let Nico fly out of the nest, or Nico is afraid to jump out of the nest and try and fly. I've sat here and watched game tape, and Tennessee's calling plays that have combinations down the field, and those are the primary reads. But Nico's not throwing a lot of them. I mean, you had three of them against Florida that he finally threw that were wide open that he overthrew them. So the saddest part, if I'm a Tennessee fan, is that this team was built on an offense that went really, really fast and was really explosive, and they were trying to build up the defense to be good enough to marry it. And just the football gods are fickle. The year you have the best defense you've had in a long time, that's deeper than the Pacific Ocean. On offense, you're having to slow the game down because you can't move the ball. So if Tennessee tries this run-and-hide stuff like they've done the last 3 weeks against Bama, it's not going to work because Jalen Milroe is eventually going to catch you. He's going to find a way to make a big play down the field. Ryan Williams will catch a ball, do a cartwheel, write a poem, do a backflip, and go score. So if they go about it like that, I don't think Tennessee wins. But if I'm Tennessee, if I'm going to go down, dog, I'm going down swinging. We're going fast. We're throwing the ball down the field. Bama really runs cover one, and that's it, especially in big-time downs. So I want to go with the veteran quarterback in Jalen Milroe, but something is telling me Tennessee figures it out a little bit this weekend.
If you had told me there was going to be an offense in the SEC that was going to have 12 straight drives between Arkansas and Florida, you know, that's Tennessee, the 12 straight drives with 0 points.
Wouldn't have been Tennessee.
Tennessee would not have been. I mean, it would have been near the bottom of my list on that prediction. And it's been. Alabama's given up some points and they've given up some yards through the air these last couple of weeks. But it's concerning the way that Tennessee offense has struggled. Even coming back and beating Florida, it's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. Well, the minute you had to say come back to beat Florida, that's when you know it's not going great with certain situations right now. It's just Nico, man. It's like he's fallen off a cliff. It's like, to me, and again, I'm not in the room, so I'm not seeing what Heupel's saying to him. I don't know if they told him, hey, you don't need to run as much because we got to have you make it through the season or this or that. But if he's stuck where Jalen Milroe was last year, where he's like, you know what, I'm going to prove to everybody I'm a NFL pocket passer. Either way, at some point, man, you got to start to create, and there's no creativity in Tennessee's offense, which is really weird to say.
Yeah, really surprising. Hey, we've got to get your thoughts before we run out of time on Auburn and Missouri. The Tigers, after an open date, we've talked about must wins before. They've got to get a win somewhere here to expect that they're going to continue to hold up and compete. Meanwhile, Missouri just they need to keep winning. However,
I mean, guys, I want to sit here and say that, you know, I feel good about Auburn this week and that, you know, they're going to turn it around. And I'm to the point now where what has this Auburn team and what has this group of older guys that have been here for a while and still haven't won, what have they done to make me think that could happen? Maybe it will. I just, at this point, you know, you go out there and you play hard, you coach hard. It's just about, we got to... Auburn needs new leadership, like from the players. Like, you, at some point, like, winners find a way to win and losers find a way to lose. Now, I'm not saying the players are losers in life. I'm sure they're going to be great fathers and husbands, and that's fantastic, but that's not what we're talking about. This Auburn group of older guys have found ways to lose games more than any group of older guys in my lifetime. So, even if it goes up there and it goes good against Missouri, me, just like every other Auburn fan, is going to be waiting to see how they blow it. And it's sad that's the fact, but I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like it's all going to be okay after a bye week. If they do win, great. I hope they do. I hope they win by 1,000. But I do not have a lot of faith in the older group of leadership that Auburn has. What I hope is the younger guys learn what not to do in big moments from this older group of guys. And I hate saying that, but it's the truth.
Well, I mean, yeah. Auburn hasn't won a close game since the Cal game last year, right? I mean, it's fair to say that, and in the meantime, they've had several games that felt very winnable late slip away. Jake, I've had people ask me, based on your comments these last couple of weeks, do you feel like Auburn should be playing somebody else on the team right now at quarterback, or should they be trying to fix things with Peyton Thorne in the game?
Well, you know, I think there's multiple ways to go about it because there's multiple ways you can rationalize it, right? Like you're at the halfway point of the season. You've still got a lot to play for. Does Peyton Thorne probably give you the best chance to win the games you have left on your schedule? Yes, most likely. We've seen Hank Brown. That was a disaster. You throw a young guy out there, who knows what's going to happen. It may be really good. It may be really bad. You don't know. So on one hand, you're like, hey, Peyton Thorne gives us the best chance to maybe go to a bowl game, which is sad to say, at a place like Auburn. But then on the other hand, if I'm going to lose, I would rather lose while Walker White's getting experience. Like, I would rather lose with a young guy that can learn from mistakes and maybe fix them. We know who Peyton Thorne is. He's a quarterback that had one great year because he had Keon Coleman and Kenneth Walker and Jaden Reed and those same guys that got Mel Tucker that huge contract. Outside of that, the man's been nothing but a letdown. So I can understand both sides of it. But if it was me and I'm Hugh Freeze and I'm in year two and I need to win some games, I think you've got to stick with Peyton Thorne, which is, you know, you're almost, you know what if you do and you know what if you don't. But, I mean, you wish you could just fast forward and get some of these guys out of here so, you know, maybe you can get a crop of winners in here.
Understandable. Yeah, Jake, we caller asked us a while ago about what did we think about the game up there, and both of us hesitated, hemmed and hawed a little bit and said, look, I said, look, it's at Missouri. That's the show me state. And that's what Auburn's got to do. And we'll see.
Well, like,
we'll
I mean,
see.
At some point, man, like all this talking about how almost this and almost
should have.
Yeah, we're up against it, JK. Appreciate it, man. We got to take our break. Appreciate it, Jake. Great stuff.
Y'all be good.
All right.
See ya.
You can catch Jake on Crane & Company on YouTube every day.
We're right back. Stick with us.
A well-made pack.